Okay, so this week's parsha is Mishpatim, and the parsha begins with a strange opening, Ve'ela HaMishpatim, and these are the laws. Whenever you have the letter Vav, which is to begin a word, it's always a chibor, it's always a connection to what came before and then comes after. Now, the truth of the matter is, one of our members, Jeffrey Goldberg, pointed this out to me recently, almost every pasuk in the Torah starts with the Vav. If you ever noticed that, it's fascinating. Almost every pasuk starts with the Vav, but what's unique here is that here you have the beginning of a the parsha. It's not like Vayidaber Hashem and God spoke to Moshe, saying it's the Elan. These are the statutes, and so the Ramban immediately and the other Mefarshim note and just make the connection that clearly what's happening here is very much related to what happened before. What happened before Har Sinai. Right, the giving of the Torah and the Ten Commandments. So right away, the Ela HaMishpatim. Clearly, these Mishpatim, these laws, and there's many laws that are detailed, that are outlined in the Parsha, there's a very strong connection to Har Sinai. And what I want to discuss this evening is the very first mitzvah that's discussed. And then a little bit more, we'll jump a little later to look at one more that is obviously very much connected. And that's the law, and a very strange law, and one that I've always, I'm sure many of us struggle with, but the one that's troubling, the fact that this is the very first law that's mentioned in the Parsha, and that is the law of the Eved Ivri, we'll translate as the Jewish slave. Like, that's the first law we should talk about? Is the laws of Jewish slaves. There's a lot of laws in this week's Parsha, laws about returning something that was lost, damages that take place, and responsibility in terms of payment and of watching property, watching animals, what happens if your animal causes damages, murder. Why is the very first mitzvah that's detailed is the law of the Eved Ivri? So the Ramban asked this question, and the Ramban says, "Hiskil b'hamishpat arishon b'Eved Ivri." The first mishpat, right? This is all tort law, and primarily in Sefer Parshas Mishpatim, right? It's laws of financial law. Why is the first one the law of owning? The Eved Ivri, Kisikne, when you will buy a Hebrew, a Jewish slave. So the Ramban says, Mipnei Shiyesh B'Shiluach HaEved B'Shana Shvi'i Tzeich Letzias Mitzrayim HaNisker B'Dibur HaRishon. It reminds us of the very first commandment, of the Ten Commandments. Again, the Ve'ela Mishpatim is going to connect this week's Parsha to Har Sinai. The first of the commandments is, I am the Lord your God, Asher Tzeich HaMeretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of Egypt. Right, I released you from bondage. What happens with this Eved Ivri? This is not an avdus of slavery that's forever. It's very limited. 6 years, and on the seventh year, you go free. So there's this connection between the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments, and the notion of God releasing us from slavery to releasing this slave as well. As it says, when it's talked about in Sefer Devarim about the laws of Eved Ivri, that you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Yitach Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokecha, and God redeemed you. I command you this as well to release this slave. And then he says another connection, besides remembering the going out of Egypt, there's also a remembrance of Bereishis, of creation. V'yesh ba'od zeichlet masi Bereishis, v'shabbos. Ki ha'shana shvi zit le'eved shabbosom umlechas adonav b'kayom ha'shvi. It also reminds us of the fundamental notion of the God being the creator, that the seventh day God rested. And here as well, this on the seventh year, the slave will rest, right? He will no longer work, he goes free. And therefore reminds us of creation. I want to take the Ramban a little further and expand upon this and suggest something that I think now that I looked at it and analyzed, I think it's obvious, but I think it's fundamental to understanding why this is here. Well, let me take a step back. We know that this this Eved Ivri, this Jewish slave, goes free on the seventh year. However, he also has the option to stay longer. Right? He's allowed to stay longer. Ahavti Sadani, it says a little bit later in the Parsha, I love this environment. I love working for my master. And the Torah says, okay, if he really seeks this continuation of his servitude, of his bondage, he can do that. He can continue. But there's a process he has to go through. He has to come before Elohim. He refers to the Beitim, before the court. And he has to go next to a door, right to the doorpost, or to the right to the actual door, the doorpost. And he gets his ear pierced. Right, his ear gets pierced against the door. Then he becomes a slave forever. And according to our Chazal rabbis, he then stays not literally forever, but until the 50th year, until the Jubilee year. And the Ramban here says the imagery is very powerful, right? The imagery is that we take him to the doorpost. Where have we heard of doorposts before? We've heard of doorposts in Egypt, right? That was a sign of freedom in Egypt, right? To put the Jews play in the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn. The Jews place the blood upon the doorpost. That would be a sign of their freedom and their fidelity to God. Here, this person, right, he wants to stay longer as a slave. And Rashi quotes Chazal, who say that why does he get his ear pierced? Because he heard, right, he heard that I'm the Lord, your God, and you're supposed to serve me and not serve another human being. So there's this further connection, right, between the experience in Egypt and the slavery and the freedom that was granted to this slave. But I want to take a step further and suggest that I think what the Torah is trying to emphasize here is that the Jewish people just experienced what it meant to be slaves, right? The Jewish people just experienced 210 years of affliction, of suffering, of the worst behavior directed from one human being against another. Children were murdered. The Jews were given avodas parach, this backbreaking labor. They experienced the most horrific existence, and they saw the worst of human beings, how some human beings can treat another. And so what I believe at the end of the day, this mitzvah and most of Parshas Mishpatim was conveying to the Jewish people. They just stood at Sinai, and they were given the Torah and the Ten Commandments. And now God had to teach them or unteach them what they shouldn't do to another human being, when instead how they should properly engage other people. In other words, they just experienced how human beings can be at their worst, and how one person who has power, one person, an individual or a group that has others working for them, because the others under their jurisdiction, how they can take advantage of them and can harm them and can cause them great pain and suffering. Hashem now has to undo that. Hashem has to show the Jewish people that there's a different way of how to treat human beings, that that sometimes there will be perhaps imbalance, or there it's just the definition of the way of society and economics, you know, operate and function, that there's going to be a person who is over someone else. There's the owner, and then there's the workers, right? There's the boss, there's the employer and the employees. But there's a way of how to properly treat one another, and that you have to be careful if you're in that position of power, that position of authority, how to properly treat those who are under you. And therefore, the first example the Torah gives is the Eved. Right? Then it's intentional. that the very first thing the Torah is going, God's going to tell the Jewish people, Eved, Avdas, you just were Avadim. You just were slaves in Egypt. And you saw and you experienced how horrific it was, how painful it was, how destructive it was. Now Hashem is telling the Jewish people, now let me show you how to do it the right way. That there is a notion of avdus, right? Sometimes there is a notion of slavery, that someone will work for you. And we know that the way our rabbis understand this case, the Torah opens up the Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave. Who is this Jewish slave? So Eved Ivri. When you acquire an Eved Ivri, and the Chazal understand, our rabbis understand, that this is a person who owes someone money, perhaps stole money from someone else, and the money is gone, and he has no way of paying it back. And therefore, what must he do? He has to sell himself. He has to earn back the money, or to pay back the person who he stole from. So he sells himself into Avdus. And you could think, like, such a person, and on some levels, deserving of what's now happening to him. And now maybe, again, this is the case where, okay, you can take advantage of this person. This person, to begin with, is not the most upstanding individual. And yet, the Torah says, even such an individual, if such a person is now your Eved, if such a person is now working for you, well, there's a way of how to treat him. And number one, Sheishanim, 6 years and that's it. This is not forever. Right, we don't need 10 plagues to get to allow this person to go free. Right, this is not that God's not gonna, does not have to intervene here and should not and must not intervene here, but you yourself, you the master, need to recognize this is for a very limited period, and you must allow this person to go free after 6 years. Bashvi yitzilachashi chinam, for free he goes out automatically. And not only that, now something very beautiful. The Ramban spends a lot of time talking about this. What happens if this person is married? He has children. So, you might think this person committed a crime. This person stole. Okay, we're going to sell him into slavery. What about his wife and children? That's their problem. Right, in society in America today, someone commits a crime, what happens? If they go into jail, but what about their family? Right? So the answer is tough luck, If the person committed a crime, this individual is gonna be punished. You commit a crime, you gotta do your time in jail. Here is something very fascinating. This person commits a crime, has to take care of his family. The Adam, the master, right? In fact, the Ramban, he has a machlokas with the Rambam to what extent he has to do this, but the Ramban is very forceful. The Ramban says that the master has to pay for food and shelter for his slave's family. It's now the master's responsibility to take care of them. It could be what they earn goes to the master, which only makes sense to help pay for the, for him to take care of them. But nonetheless, there's an onus, there's this responsibility upon the master to take care of this Eved and even his family members, to take care of them, to provide for them. And that's why the next pasuk says, when the 6 years are up, he goes free and his wife goes free with him. Why is the wife going free? What is she doing there? The answer is because the master had to take care of the wife. That was and the family as well. And then then we'll skip. And then it talks about there's a opportunity for the master to give this Eved Ivri a shivcha kananis and a non-Jewish slave, and they can have children together. And then they conclude, Vim Yomar Yomar Eved, but the master says, I love my master, I want to stay. And why does he love his master? That in itself should be shocking to former slaves. You love your master, you want to stay in Egypt? So there is a reason why he might love his master, because the master is supposed to take really good care of him. Now, we don't want him to stay because, again, we want him to get up on his 2 feet. But if this is a health, this is a good environment for him, and it's working out, and obviously the master likes him and he likes the master, well, that, there's a process to continue the relationship. But again, it can't be forever, because ultimately we don't want you to be in such an environment. We want you to be out on your own, not to be an Eved. Ultimately, only an Eved to a servant to God. But I think it's very powerful that this is how the Parsha begins. To these former slaves who experienced the worst of slavery and of affliction and pain and suffering, right away God says, well, what happens if you have a slave? And sometimes you may need to have a slave. Sometimes, again, there's this process of a person needs to sell himself into slavery. But the right away, the Torah says, okay, but you're going to treat this person very differently than the way that you were treated in Egypt. Ela Mishpatim, these are the ordinances that I have placed before you. There's a different rule book here. Whatever you experienced in Egypt, forget about it. That's over. Right? That is not just. That is not godly. This is the way of how you treat people. And it's fascinating. Chazal rabbis say that Kol Kona Eved, whoever acquires for himself a slave, Kilo Kona Rabo, it's as if he acquired a master for him, because the Chazal go even further and say that if you only have one pillow, right, who gets the pillow? Not you, the master, but the servant. You have to make sure that he gets fed first, right? You have to treat him with utmost respect and dignity. And it's teaching the Jewish people that there's a new sheriff in town. There's a way of how we treat people, especially those who are vulnerable. Especially those who are vulnerable, with the sensitivity and compassion. And I think, you know, I don't have time to go through all this, but if you go through a lot of the parsha, I just want to skip to one more mitzvah that really reinforces this idea. But many more of the mitzvos in this week's parsha all highlight, you know, this idea of how we treat other human beings. And, you know, so it's, for example, it says, Makei ish v'meis mos yumas. Right? If someone kills someone, that's not acceptable. Right? Maybe that's what happened in Egypt. Maybe that's how people treated others. That's what you saw, that you saw the masters killing the servants. Here, it's a capital offense. Death is not allowed to kill someone. Unacceptable. What happens if someone does it? Someone does it accidentally. That's still irresponsible. That still is unacceptable. And you know what? That person needs to go to an Ari Miklat. That's the next pasuk. Has to go to a city of refuge and learn and think about their actions. That there's no excuse for unintentional behavior that ends with terrible consequences, where people wind up getting harmed or even killed. If that happens, there's also going to be there's a new way of looking at that, and there's going to be consequences. If someone kills someone else, the next pasuk, and they flee to the Beis Hamikdash, they're a Kohen, they're someone who's holy, Mizbechi, they're working in the temple, they're not above the law. What happens? Tikachenu lamus, they get killed. I don't care who you are. I don't care. You're the rabbi. You're the kohen. You're the priest. You also. There's no place for mistreating other people. What about your parents? Makei aviv. You strike your parents. That's totally unacceptable. Gonev. You steal person. Kidnapping. Right. It's one mitzvah after another in terms of how the Torah delineating how we're supposed to treat other people. How not to mistreat people, to be so careful not to take advantage of the weak. And again, you just keep on going throughout this parsha. It's just, this idea just gets repeated over and over again. And so I'll just end off with one final example where really I think this it comes full circle to understand what Hashem is trying to do, what the Torah is doing in this parsha to these former slaves who just came to Sinai and received the Torah. You want to create a covenant with me, God says, this is the deal. Right? We're going to totally reorient your thinking. Everything that you experienced in Egypt and you learned in Egypt, you're going to now realize that that's not how people treat other human beings. That's not what's expected, and that's not what's demanded of you. And so, what does the Torah say? I'm here on, now. I'm on Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Chaf. Beger lo sone v'locha hatana. If you have a stranger among you, right? You have a stranger. You shall not oppress that stranger. You shouldn't taunt them. Rashi, Chazal say this means with a dvarim, but even with words, right? You shouldn't harm them in such a manner to remind them of their past. Why? Kigirim hayisim be'eretz Mitzrayim. For you yourselves were strangers in the land of Egypt, right? It's easy to forget your past experience, and how soon can the oppressed become the oppressor, right? You can quickly forget about what you know happened to you, and all of a sudden now you're in a great position. You now take advantage of others. No, never forget that experience in Egypt. And it says, "Kol amanav yasom lo tanu." The next pasuk is any widow and any orphan, they as well you should not afflict. And Chazal say, we're just giving these as examples, really first to any person. And it's so powerful. What's the word here? Lo ta'anun. You shall not afflict. And this reminds us of the pasuk, I mentioned this a few times over the last couple of months, back in Parshas Lech Lecha, the pasuk that we invoke at the Seder, when we're recounting what happened to the Jewish people, and we're telling our children the story. So God says to Avram in the Bris Ben Absarim, the original covenant that he makes with Avram, "Kiger Yezar Achab Eretz Lo Laham," you'll be stranger in a strange land. Arba Me'oshana, right, for 400 years. Vavadum, and there you'll be enslaved. The Inu Osam, and you'll be afflicted. Right, you'll be afflicted there. Right, and that's what happened to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. They were Inu is a It's a harsh term, right? It's not only you working there; it's suffering. It's being taken advantage of. It's being degradation and being harmed and worst away. Now God says, you in turn, you former slaves, lo tanun, don't afflict those who are vulnerable, right? The ger, the atom, the amana, and im ta'ane ta'ane also. And if you do afflict them, God says, right, if you do afflict them, and they cry out to me. And remember the Jews, what happened to the Jews in Egypt? I think the language here is so powerful. They cried out to Hashem, right? We were being afflicted and we cried out to Hashem. If you now afflict someone else and they cry out to me, right? I'm going to hear their cry. I heard your cries in Egypt. You remember I heard your cries. Well, I'm going to hear their cries. The chara api, my anger will be inflamed, God says, if that happens. And I will kill you, God says, right? I will destroy you with the sword, and your wives will become widows, and your children will become orphans. And so, what the Torah, what Hashem is emphasizing to the Jewish people is that you came to Sinai, and I made this special covenant with you, right? I told you in last week's parsha, you're going to be this Am Segula, this treasure nation, this kingdom of priests, Goy Kadosh, and this holy nation. But here's the deal, right? It's dependent upon the Ela Mishpatim, that you keep these laws. And part of being a holy nation, or critical of being a holy nation, is how you treat human beings. And what you experienced in Egypt, what you witnessed in Egypt, that is lesson number one in how not to treat other people. Instead, how do you treat people, even the most vulnerable, even your own Eved? You treat them with compassion, with kindness. You recognize that it's a financial arrangement for a limited period of time. It's your responsibility to take care of that Eved. If that Eved comes in with a family, you're responsible, you're required, you're mandated to take care of them. And then the Torah says, I think something very beautiful. And if he wants to stay, why would he? And again, I think he wants to stay because maybe you did a good job. So great, you did a good job. There's a process to allow to stay, but really he shouldn't be staying. So we're going to remind him. We're going to pierce him in the ear at the doorpost. Remember them about that. Really, you should be free. But even that's not going to be. There's going to be a time that person will still go free at the Yovel. Then all these additional laws about human dignity and the sanctity of life. And how important it is to treat people with respect, And then the worst thing, you know, you can then do is repeat what you yourself experienced in Egypt. You become the Egyptians. You become the one afflicting the stranger, the ger, the yasam, and the almana. And if you do that, and they cry out like you cried out to me, that's it. This is over. Right, God, I'm going to destroy, like I destroyed the Egyptians, I'm going to destroy you. And so after the giving of the Torah, you need a parashas mishpatim. You know, this is now where the work begins. This is now what it's all about. Now the thunder and lightning of Har Sinai is over, and it's found so beautiful, this covenant that's being created, but it's now dependent upon, and it's relearning, or maybe learning for the first time, that the expectations of how we treat other human beings, and that never to repeat what you witnessed in Egypt. And we I think we saw back, I know we discussed it at some point this year, that perhaps this was even one of the reasons why God in the first place made the Jews become slaves, right? Well, many times we ask the question, why does God make this deal with Avram that your children are going to be slaves? Right? Why does that have to be part of the process? So it could be that's part of the process, because that through becoming slaves, we learn how not to be treated, right? How positively to treat other people. Right, that we had to learn what it's like to be oppressed, what it's like to be a second class, what it's like when someone can engage in the most horrific behavior, and for us to understand that that's not what you're supposed to do, right, and to be ever careful, because it's so easy when you're in control and you have the power and the authority over someone to become corrupt and to forget your morals and your ethics and your values, and to for you to become the oppressor, that can very quickly happen. And if we're right from the get go, Hashem says that's not what's going to happen. Right? If that does happen, then we're over. But instead, learn the lessons of Parashas Mishpatim. Learn how to treat other human beings with dignity and respect, and kindness and compassion. And then if you do all those things, so then, right, then all the promises that God has given us. And that's why I believe the Torah, you know, the Torah reading concludes by sort of going back to Har Sinai. That, you know, there's sort of a repetition a little bit of, once again, describing the Har Sinai experience, because this was all the part of the covenant, right? This was the ABCs. This was, if this wasn't understood, then nothing else is going to move forward. You have to understand what this message. If you get that, okay, then we can finalize the deal, the nasa v'nishma that appears at the end of the parsha, and then the next six parsha, Truma, then you can build me the mikdash, shachanti b'solcha. Right, then I'll dwell among you. Right, if you understand how to treat other human beings, you act like me, you act compassionate and kind like me. Well, then we're going to establish this great relationship. But it's all dependent upon how you act towards other human beings, how you learn not to act like the Egyptians, and instead mimic God in being kind and compassionate. Okay, wishing everyone a very good Shabbos, a happy Rosh Chodesh Adar, and a happy Shabbos Shalom, and everyone should just continue to be safe and well.